Welcome to the Motor City Sports Rundown. We have a packed show today, and frankly, there is a lot of nervous energy in the studio right now.
Oh, you can definitely say that again. The NBA playoffs have a funny way of taking a phenomenal, historically great regular season and completely turning it upside down in the span of just a few days.
We are, of course, talking about the Detroit Pistons, who are suddenly staring down the barrel of a potential disaster in their first-round series against Orlando. We will break down exactly what went wrong in Game 3 and what needs to drastically change as they head into a pivotal Game 4.
We are also going to spend some time on the ice today. The Red Wings season might be in the rearview mirror, but the off-season player evaluations are in full swing. We really need to talk about Lucas Raymond, his production this past year, and the debate over whether 76 points is actually enough for a player of his caliber.
It is a fascinating debate, especially given his leadership role on the team now. We will also get to some football news later in the show, including a major update on the Wolverines secondary and a quick look at the newest addition to the Lions defensive line. But first, let's dive into this incredibly tense Pistons situation.
When you look at the situation the Detroit Pistons find themselves in right now, it is nothing short of stunning. We are talking about the number one seed in the Eastern Conference, a team that just put together a historic 60-win regular season, now trailing the 8th-seeded Orlando Magic 2-1. Game 4 is set for Monday, April 27th, 2026, at 8 Eastern down at the Kia Center in Orlando, and the pressure is entirely on Detroit. They dropped Game 3 by a score of 113-105, and suddenly, the narrative has completely flipped. Vegas still has Detroit as 3.5-point favorites for Game 4, but based on what we saw in Game 3, that line feels incredibly generous. The Magic are playing with absolute confidence, and the Pistons look like a team that is gripping the steering wheel way too tightly.
Gripping the steering wheel too tightly is the perfect way to put it. You can see the tension in their half-court execution. During the regular season, Detroit played with this incredible flow and pace, dictating the terms of engagement on almost every possession. But in Game 3, Orlando completely dragged them into the mud. The Magic's defense is lengthy, it is physical, and they are essentially daring the Pistons to beat them in isolation. And when you look at the 113-105 final score, it does not fully capture how disjointed Detroit looked for long stretches of that game. The Kia Center crowd was absolutely deafening, and you could see the young Magic players feeding off that energy. They do not look like an 8 seed right now. They look like a team that genuinely believes they are the better squad on the floor. That is the danger of letting an underdog hang around in a playoff series. And we have to talk about the elephant in the room here, which is Cade Cunningham. As the franchise cornerstone, the burden of success falls squarely on his shoulders. But his turnover struggles in this series have been a massive liability. Orlando has clearly made it their primary objective to trap him, crowd his airspace, and force the ball out of his hands. Time and time again in Game 3, we saw Cade try to thread the needle through traffic or jump to pass, resulting in live ball turnovers that fueled the Magic's transition offense. If Detroit is going to survive Game 4 and avoid a catastrophic 3-1 series deficit, Cunningham has to take better care of the basketball. It is that simple. It is simple in theory, but incredibly difficult in practice against this specific Orlando scheme. The Magic have so much switchability on the perimeter that there are rarely any easy passing lanes. But you're right, Cade has to adjust. He needs to recognize the traps earlier and make the simple, fundamental pass rather than trying to hit the home run play. But it is not just on Cunningham. The coaching staff has to take some heat here as well. Where are the offensive adjustments? Why are they continually running high pick and roll into the teeth of Orlando's defense without utilizing off-ball screens to free up shooters? When you are the number one seed with 60 wins, you are supposed to have a counterpunch for everything. Right now, it feels like Detroit is just running their base offense and hoping their talent eventually wins out.
And relying purely on talent is a dangerous game in the playoffs. If they drop Game 4 on Monday night, they will be facing a 3-1 deficit heading back to Detroit. Statistically, overcoming a 3-1 deficit is incredibly rare, and the psychological weight of that would be crushing for a team that had championship aspirations just 2 weeks ago.
the 3.5-point spread suggests the oddsmakers expect a bounce-back performance, a regression to the mean, where Detroit's shooters finally start knocking down the open looks they are getting. But if Orlando comes out with that same intensity and punches Detroit in the mouth early, we could be looking at one of the biggest first-round upsets in recent NBA history.
Absolutely. Game 4 is going to come down to composure. Can the Pistons weather the early storm? Can they quiet the crowd at the Kia Center in the first quarter? They need to establish their defense early, prevent Orlando from getting easy looks in transition, and force them to execute in the half court. If Detroit can string together some stops and get out on the fast break themselves, they can start to dictate the tempo again. But if they come out flat and turn the ball over early, it is going to be a very long, very uncomfortable flight back to Michigan.
Let's transition over to the ice, where the Red Wings front office is deep into their off-season player evaluations. There is a fascinating piece up on Ken's 5 titled, Not Enough. Lucas Raymond needed to provide more for the Detroit Red Wings. Now, at first glance, that headline might make some fans do a double take. We are talking about a player who finished the 2025-26 NHL regular season with 76 points, tallying 25 goals and 51 assists across 80 games. He stayed healthy, he produced at nearly a point-per-game pace, and he served as a full-time alternate captaincy. But the core argument of this critique centers on whether his goal-scoring volume and his 5-on-5 production are truly sufficient to elevate him to that elite franchise-driving status.
It is one of the most interesting debates surrounding the team right now. 76 points is objectively a great season. You look at the 51 assists, and it is clear that Raymond is a phenomenal playmaker who makes his line mates better. But when you are drafted 4th overall, and you are given a full-time alternate captaincy at his age, the expectations are just astronomically high. The franchise is looking at him not just as a complementary piece, but as a foundational pillar. And part of being that foundational pillar is the ability to take over a game and put the puck in the net when the team desperately needs a goal. 25 goals is solid, but the question is whether the expectation for Raymond should be 30-plus goals consistently. That exact point was actually addressed by the coaching staff during the season. Head coach Todd McClellan publicly stated back in February 2026 that the team was actively encouraging Raymond to shoot the puck more. McClellan's system relies heavily on getting pucks to the net from high-danger areas, and there were times when Raymond seemed to defer to his teammates, looking for the perfect pass instead of taking the selfish, high-percentage shot. When your head coach has to go to the media and explicitly say they want you to be more aggressive offensively, it tells you that the internal analytics and the coaching staff both believe there is untapped goal-scoring potential there. I completely agree, and I think that shift in mentality is the hardest transition for a young playmaker to make. Raymond has always been a guy who sees the ice incredibly well, prioritizing the setup. But in today's NHL, your top-line wingers have to be dual threats. If opposing defensemen know you are always looking to pass first, they will start playing the passing lanes and daring you to beat the goaltender cleanly. By forcing Raymond to shoot more, McClellan is trying to make him less predictable. If he can push that 25-goal mark up to 30 or 35 next season, it completely changes how teams have to defend the Red Wings' top line.
We also have to contextualize his production within the overall structure of the team this past season. The Red Wings dealt with significant injury struggles, which meant Raymond's line mates were constantly shuffling. When you lack consistent secondary scoring, opposing teams can afford to hard match their top defensive pairings against you every single shift. A lot of the perceived lack of 5-on-5 production might actually be a symptom of the team's broader offensive inconsistencies, rather than a purely individual failing on Raymond's part. It is tough to be a primary offensive driver when the defense is entirely keyed in on shutting you down.
That is a very fair caveat. You cannot evaluate a player in a vacuum. But at the same time, the truly elite players in this league find a way to produce regardless of the defensive matchups or who they are skating with. I do not think anyone is suggesting Lucas Raymond had a bad year. 76 points is fantastic. But the headline, Not Enough, speaks to the ceiling of this current Red Wings roster. If Detroit is going to take that next step and become a legitimate playoff contender, they need Raymond to evolve from a great top six forward into a true, undeniable superstar. The playmaking is already there. Now it is just about developing that killer instinct as a goal scorer.
All right, let's pivot away from the winter sports for a minute and hit a few more stories real quick in our roundup.
Sounds good. Let's get into the football side of things and see what is happening on the gridiron.
First up, 247 Sports has a great piece on Michigan cornerback Smith Snowden discussing his transfer from Utah and his recovery process. Snowden came over in January 2026 to reunite with his former Utah head coach, Kyle Whittingham, who obviously took over the Wolverines program. Snowden brings a great resume, having recorded 37 tackles, 11 pass breakups, and 2 interceptions during his junior season at Utah.
He is a massive addition for new defensive coordinator Jay Hill, especially given his versatility, having played defensive back, running back, and wide receiver in the past. But the big hurdle right now is his health. He underwent surgery in February 2026 to repair a sports hernia he sustained last season, which required an 8-week recovery.
Right. And because of that, he was held out of Michigan's spring scrimmage as a precautionary measure. That puts a lot of pressure on him to quickly establish chemistry with the existing secondary starters once fall camp opens. Missing those crucial spring reps means he has to hit the ground running in August if he wants to lock down a starting role.
Moving over to the pro ranks, Yahoo Sports Canada did a breakdown titled "Who is Tyree West?", breaking down the Detroit Lions' 7th-round pick during training camp. The Lions added West late in the draft to bolster their defensive line depth.
When you get into the 7th round, you are really just looking for traits, camp bodies, and guys who might be able to contribute on special teams while they develop. Brad Holmes has a track record of finding value late in the draft, so it will be interesting to see if West can carve out a spot on the practice squad or even fight his way onto the 53-man roster.
Exactly. You can never have too many big bodies in the trenches during training camp. We will definitely keep an eye on his progress when the pads come on in Allen Park.
That is going to do it for today's edition of the Motor City Sports Rundown. We covered a lot of ground today, from the hardwood to the ice to the gridiron.
Enjoy Game 4 tonight, everyone. Let's hope the Pistons can find their rhythm, tie this series up, and bring it back to Detroit with some momentum.
We will be back tomorrow to break down all the action and see where the dust settles. Thanks for listening, and we will talk to you then.